Coming up on Chasing the Natty, week 10 of the college fantasy football season is here, and Justin and I are once again back to help you be prepared as always. We'll be giving you a couple of players at each of the main positions that we are starting, a couple of whom that we will be sitting, and then we'll finish up with some of your fan-submitted start sit questions. We've got all of that and more coming right after this. This is Chasing the Natty, a college fantasy football podcast. All right, welcome in everyone. This is Jared Palmgren, host of the Chasing the Natty podcast. I hope you guys are having a wonderful ride to your work on this Wednesday morning. We are the College Fantasy Football Podcast on the Campus to Canton Podcast Network. You can find us on all of your podcast feeds and on YouTube every Monday and Wednesday morning during the season at 6 a.m. sharp. If you want to support the great work we're doing here, head on over to campustocanton.com, subscribe there with any of our extraordinary tiers. You'll find everything you need for your CFF, Devi, C2C, betting needs, all of it, including articles, rankings, projections, tools, and even more than that. You can find me in the show on Twitter. I'm at @CFF_Jared. The show is at Chasing the Natty, and my partner in crime for our weekly preview and start sit shows is Mr. Justin Leo at Volume Pigs on Twitter. You can find his incredible work at volumepigs.com. Justin, welcome back to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I assume better than you. Yeah, that, for those listening at home, Jared's fighting off a stomach bug. So yeah, it's he's going through it right now. But yeah, no, I'm doing all right, man. And excited to chat some more CFF this week.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm definitely doing better than I was on Sunday. Quick shout out to Nate Marquise for stepping in for me on Sunday and getting out a waiver show for you guys. He did a great job. If y'all haven't gone and checked that out for whatever reason, make sure you go and do that again. Nate did a fantastic job on that. I'm definitely feeling better than I was on Sunday. Appreciate all the well wishes, but I'm definitely still recovering a little bit. I haven't had a great nights of sleep the last couple of nights, so I'm powering through it today. We're getting a show out to you guys here today. We got a fun week 10 ahead of us here, Justin. Every time I feel like we get through the worst of bye weeks. Week 6 and 7 were pretty bad, but man, week 10 just
felt like a full
mafia style baseball bats and kneecaps here with just how many buys we got here. Like, I went and looked, cuz when we were looking through our, cuz when we decide our sits for this show, we take a look at the top end guys, and I went and looked. Among your top 24 QBs, 10 of them are on bye, so almost half of your top-end quarterbacks are on bye this week. A fourth of your top-end running backs, so 9 out of your top 36, are on bye this week. And then about a third of your top-end wide receivers are on bye, about 17 out of the top 48. So just a massive number of players that are just out there, and all the more important, I guess, for us to discuss these start sits this week, because people are going to be definitely scouring the waiver wire. Nate did a fantastic job with naming some guys on the waiver show earlier this week. So if we don't give you enough names that you want to check out here, make sure you go check that out as well. But I will definitely reiterate, some of the guys that he will be touching on there. So I guess, Justin, what are you, I guess, in a bye week that is this bad, like, what are you kind of looking at? Are you okay with just rolling with the guys that you have on your bench, if you even have enough guys on your bench to start a full lineup?
I mean, I doubt that there's a lot of teams out there that are sufficiently provisioned for this bye week. I think most people, you're going to have to pick up at least one or two players because, yeah, I mean, when we were choosing our players for the start sit this week, right? I mean, it was slim pickings for some of those positions in particular. There's just like, there's hardly anybody, it feels like, are there even any games being played this Saturday? I had to go back and look, like, who's playing this Saturday? So, Yeah, I mean, in the leagues that I'm in, I've had to go and hit the free agency slash waiver wire, as I imagine almost everybody has, right? I think it's just that type of week where, like, especially at quarterback, like you know, there's just a lot of players that are on bye right now, and I think it sort of forces you. But the good news is, and as Nate sort of pointed out in the show earlier this week, there is value. There is always value along the waiver wire and free agency. It's just a matter of finding it. There's a little bit of luck involved, of course, as well. But thankfully, you know, unlike something like the NFL, where it's such a closed shop, you know, there's hardly any options out there. College, the option's always out there to dominate your opponent. It's just a matter of finding it. That's the good news. And we're going to chat about some of the names today, of course, as well.
You know what I find crazy is I talk to some people over the off season, and there are certain people who are like legitimately angry at how many good options there are week to week on the CFF waiver wire. And like they're like they think that makes it too easy, and I'm just like, I don't know about that, because again, there's so much variance that happens week to week already. Like, just because you think you're picking up a good player doesn't mean they're actually going to perform.
There's two ways of looking at it. I mean, I can understand their point if and especially if you're in sort of a shallower standard kind of league where it feels like there's always like really good players available. I can understand that. At the same time, and you hit the nail on the head, there's so much variability and so much sort of uncertainty that, you know, yes, every week there's crazy performances happening from waiver wire guys, but a lot of times it's like very un you wouldn't have expected. You know, there's a lot of guys who are just out of nowhere where it's like if you happen to just stumble upon that player that week onto your roster, it's like pure luck, right? So a lot of it is, you know, you're not gonna be really in a position to capitalize on that. But you know, I think look, I'm not gonna go into a rant of CFF being superior to the NFL, but for this week in particular, when there's lots of bye weeks, I think we all appreciate that there is some value there on the wire so that you're not just plugging in, you know, hot garbage in. So.
Yeah, that way it doesn't become a matchup of who just happens to have the least players on bye this week.
Yeah,
All
who wants
right.
to do that?
Exactly. That's no fun. All right, let's move on over to our start sits for this week. Let me get rid of those little tokens. Good Lord. What, this is amateur hour going on over here. All right, there we go. Let's start with our starts for the week, Justin. As always, we each have a quarterback, a running back, and a wide receiver that we are throwing out here. I was gracious enough to let you have first dibs on the players
I
this week.
appreciated that.
And so I will let you go first with your quarterback here that you are putting out here to start. Just a reminder to everybody out there, the rules here are these are just have to be players that are outside the top 60 to this point in the season in total points at their respective position. So, Grant, sometimes we'll be have guys in here that are legit deep dive. Some guys, like the guy that Justin's talking about here, are some late season breakouts that haven't really made it all the way up into the top end yet, but man, oh man, they're not far behind. So, Justin, who's your guy here?
Yeah. I was just gonna say, you know, my selection, and I feel like every week there's at least one of these kind of selections where, yeah, my selection's not really a deep dive, and he's not in the top 60 because he hasn't really been the starter there. But you know, had he been the starter probably from the beginning of the season, at least based on what he's done so far, he probably would be. And so the name is Colton Joseph, quarterback, Old Dominion. You know, again, for anybody who's watching this, I'm assuming you played CFF or you're playing CFF this season. So you're probably familiar with what he did last weekend. He had a massive game. I think he threw four touchdowns, I believe. So he had a huge performance, but it wasn't really an outlier. Like he had a good game the week prior as well. And he's, as I mentioned, he's kind of a late breakout because Grant Wilson is still dealing with an injury. Kind of a mystery with Grant Wilson. Like eventually he is going to return. That's from what I can tell, it's just not quite determined when he's coming back. I
Does it
know, Jared, you're
matter?
making a face. Well, I don't
That's
know. Like,
what my
if he
face is
comes,
about. Like, this offense
yeah.
looks so much better with Joseph under center.
I've played CFF long enough to see this, though, where you see a guy come out of nowhere, he's doing really well, and then the old guy comes back and he just gets handed the job again. So,
That's fair enough. I mean, shoot, look at Texas A&M with Marcell
point
Reed.
taken. You know, it seems like a shoe-in that Joseph should just be the guy. Perfect example. Yeah. So, you know, the coaches, there's lots of loyalty. There's a lot of, you know, things going on behind the scenes. So I don't take anything for granted, but at least for the time being, barring any sort of injury update later in the week, Colton Joseph is who I'm assuming is the starter. He had a massive week last weekend. Like I said, he's had good games basically, you know, the last few weeks that he's been starting. And Old Dominion, I believe they have a good matchup this week. I have to go back and look at my
Oh,
notes. Yes,
they got
App
App
State.
State.
Yeah, so App State, famous for being the launch point of Cade Klubnik's Heisman campaign this year. I think he had like six touchdowns or something against them in week two. Colton Joseph, but even beyond that performance, App State's defensively this year, shockingly, you know, that's a program that's usually pretty solid on defense, but this year not hasn't been the case. So I think it's a good matchup. You know, Joseph's red hot right now. So, you know, he was kind of an easy selection for the start sit, a bit of a cheesy selection at that. But hey, you know, I have to take what I can, right? The last few weeks have been really rough sledding, I think, for me for quarterbacks. You know, names like Caden Simmons and stuff like that. So I was like, you know what? Let me just make it easier on myself,
Take the
Colton
layup,
Joseph.
man. Take the
Exactly,
layup.
exactly, exactly. So, you know, beggars can't be choosers. So.
No, I obviously love the call out here. Again, Joseph's a guy to me who honestly could end up being a league winner down the stretch. Like, again, playing in the Sun Belt there's not a ton of tough competition for them to really run into. And he's the perfect CFF quarterback, right? Over the last four games, he has hit 68 plus rushing yards. In every single one of those games, you're basically guaranteed a safe floor there. Again, his passing is a little inconsistent. Again, going back and forth between, like, 250 to less than 150 2 weeks in a row to now over 300 this past week against Georgia Southern, right? He has an incredible ceiling, though. That's kind of the main thing with him. And this matchup against App State, again, they're bottom five team in the country and team defensive performance. The Vegas loves the outcome of this match. Again, over under of 60 and a half here. Old Dominion only favored by 2.5. They're expecting to go back and forth here. And quite frankly, given how Old Dominion's performed over the last couple of weeks, I wouldn't be surprised if Old Dominion just straight up turns this into a, not a blowout, but I think it's possible they beat App State pretty handily, and that just opens
Definitely.
up the ceiling for Joseph to even have a better day than what we're expecting.
Yeah, well, I mean, ideally, it's just a shootout back and forth, right? I hope
Agreed.
that they don't blow them out too much because they might take Joseph out. So hopefully, it's just a back and forth shootout. And the over-under suggests that it probably will be.
All right, we'll go with my quarterback here. This is one I'm just kind of reiterating. You had your layup there, Justin. I'm taking my layup, an alley-oop from Nate Marquise here. He mentioned this guy on the waiver wire show earlier this week, and I think it's a great call. Like, again, you got to start Michael Van Buren this week, quarterback out of Mississippi State. They're going up against UMass. This is one of those premier, SEC late season matchups where, these guys need to get healthy, and God Almighty, Mississippi State needs a win here. And UMass is just what the doctor ordered there. Their defense started off pretty decent to start the year. They've definitely fallen back to earth as the season's gone along here. They're now, bottom 20 in the country in team defensive performance, susceptible to both the pass and the rush here. Mississippi State's only favored by 18 points over them, which actually tells me that, UMass can actually score a little bit in this game, which makes sense. Mississippi State, I think their defense is legitimately bottom 10 in the country. And so that tells me that Shapen pro or Shapen, excuse me, Van Buren probably starts most of this game. And that's great news for us CFF folks because he's been on fire the last couple of weeks, right? Against UGA, putting up over 300 yards and three touchdowns against them, three touchdowns against Texas A&M. And then you had this last week's performance against Arkansas, which again, they got blown out pretty badly. But, still put up over 300 yards and two touchdowns. Also ran for a touchdown on the ground as well. Nate mentioned on his show, Jeff Lebby loves running his quarterbacks around the goal line. I think that Van Buren, if Jeff Lebby wants to put on a show for his home fans this week, I think Van Buren's in for a massive, massive day.
Yeah, well, and I like the call out, and yeah, I had to do a double take this week, and I was looking at some of these matchups and seeing some of these this late SEC sort of cupcake matchup, the infamous late SEC cupcake matchup. Hey, we'll take it though, right? From a
Oh,
CFF
yeah.
standpoint, this is fantastic. You sort of outlined really well there. It is a great matchup for Mississippi State's players. You know, not just Van Buren, but if you have Kevin Coleman out there, this would be a great stack option. Love the tidbit there about Levy using QBs around the goal line. Yeah, I mean, I like the call out, right? With Van Buren, he sort of came alive. That UGA game was kind of the launch point for him, and everybody was kind of thinking like, oh, you know, what's wrong with UGA's defense? You know, how did this kid, true freshman, sort of carve them up? Of course, the Dogs just shredded Texas the week later, as we find out, okay, defense maybe is not that bad. And Van Buren has actually kept up this level of play, right, for a few weeks now. He's pretty consistent, actually. So I love this call out. We've gotten a nice sort of 3 week sample size now on Van Buren, so I feel a little safer about if I had to start him in this matchup, right? That you're hoping that like Jakobi James or whoever else on UMass can like score a few touchdowns, keep this one competitive all the way to the end. Because if he plays the full 60, you got to think, yeah, I mean, 25 points feels, I don't ever say something's locked in, right? But
It
it
feels
feels
pretty
safe,
locked in.
feels pretty locked in, and really that like I mentioned, that whole roster, there's other players there that are interesting as well, like Devon Booth at running back. He's another one who I could have easily mentioned as my start this week because he's not owned really anywhere, but he's a guy who sees a lot of touches too. So love to call out like that matchup.
Right, who's your running back here, Justin?
Yeah, so again, this one I feel a little cheap using this one because I think everybody knows who this player is, but he isn't that highly rostered still, and he's outside of the top 60. And the name is Ahmad Hardy, UL Monroe running back. So those who are familiar with the UL Monroe staff, you'll know that the coach is one Bryant Vincent, previously at New Mexico when Jacoby Merritt was there. Then previously before that, he was at UAB. Interim head coach for a year. He was the OC prior to that. And you can look at sort of the list of names that went through there at running back. Dwayne McBride is one of them. They had a pretty good lineage of running backs that were really productive in CFF there. And so his kind of system, he's sort of a known quantity from that standpoint, from a CFF standpoint. And Hardy really this year, and he's a true freshman. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but he is a true freshman and he's kind of been their RB1 basically from the beginning of the year up until now. I mean, he sees a lot of carries, despite whatever they listed on their depth chart to open the year. He was the guy really from the first whistle who has been carrying the load for them. Touchdowns maybe haven't been there recently, but he still sees a ton of carries. The matchup that they have this week, again, I have it in my notes, but I keep, yeah, against Marshall. So Marshall in particular, maybe overall on defense are not so bad, but against the rush they have been not fantastic, at least up to this point. And UL Monroe, they're going to run the ball like Bryant Vincent, that they're always going to run the ball, and Hardy is the RB1 there. So yeah, I don't know, this one feels good to me. Again, I always like to gravitate towards players that see a lot of volume. It sort of provides a safer floor. The touchdowns might not be there, but I think the carries will and the yardage should be there as well. So we'll see what happens, but I like Hardy this week.
I think the touchdowns will be here again. Like, he didn't score any touchdowns last week against Southern Alabama, right? But he had four touchdowns in three games before that. So again, they definitely get him work around the goal line. My only worry is, again, the over under in this game's 47.5. Marshall favored by 10 there. That doesn't leave a ton of room expected for UL Monroe to get a ton of scoring opportunities there. But again, if there's one guy on this UL Monroe roster that I would feel pretty good about scoring, like, I think it would be Hardy. My guy, in a similar vein in terms of like expected low scoring game here, but I, rather than playing for volume, actually playing matchup here. And I'm going to go with Cam Porter, running back out of Northwestern. He's going up against Purdue this week. Purdue's an absolute dumpster fire this year. Again, I know they fired the offensive coordinator there, Graham Harrell, but I wouldn't be surprised if Walters isn't gone by the end of the year. Like, it's been just there's been no progression in that program really since Jeff Brohm left, and I just don't see them really sticking around with that too much longer. And their defense has really been the source of a lot of their problems this year. Again, you're talking bottom five in almost I don't want to say almost all metrics, but it's almost all metrics. Like, they've just been all around horrendous. And Cam Porter, still the clear top running back for Northwestern. He's obviously not fantastic in the efficiency department, right? Again, 3.4 yards per carry versus Wisconsin, 3.8 yards per carry versus Iowa, but those are much tougher defenses than what he'll get against Purdue this weekend. Plus, he hasn't had a touchdown in two games. I think he's due for one. I think he's due for two, potentially. And in a game against Purdue here, where Northwestern is favored by one in a total that is 46.5, and I mentioned that's pretty low, but honestly, for Northwestern, that's a shootout total right there. I think I like Cam Porter's chances to score once or twice this weekend and to provide you a pretty decent, I'd say, 15 to 20 point play.
I like the play. I like the floor. Cam Porter and Northwestern. It's almost like a G5 opponent where it's like, if he gets a good great matchup, he's a play. But most of the time he's kind of they're overwhelmed in their own conference. But this is one game where because Cam Porter, as you mentioned, on the efficiency end, hasn't been great, and that's just because like he still gets the touches in all of these games. It's just that they don't do anything or they don't score. So he ends the game with just like a lot of touches, but not much production. But this is one of those matchups, in conference, one of those rare matchups for Northwestern where, yeah, they can move the ball, right? You look at Cam Porter's track record this year, when they played an FCS opponent, Eastern Illinois, I believe it was, he scored about 15 points, which, look, on a tough week like this, and you're looking for someone to plug in, 15 points, I'd never be upset about, right? 15 is sort of that nice threshold. You're looking for 20, but 15 is
You're not mad at 15.
yeah, exactly. Could be a lot worse, certainly. So no, I like the call out.
You could be Elijah Sherratt last week and get 12 yards.
Yeah, well, that's not going to win you any
No,
matchups.
that one hurt a lot. Or Khloe Mullings last week at 12 yards on the ground. That one hurt a lot. What about your wide receiver here, Justin? Who are you looking at?
Well, and then I was when listening to your explanation of Cam Porter, how he hadn't scored in a few games, that feels like that's an omen for him scoring. I love that line of logic in CFF, and I also use it occasionally in Exhibit A here. So Keyshawn Johnson sort of emerged as the top target in that Western Kentucky offense earlier in the year, and he was scoring. I think he scored like four touchdowns in the span of like three games. Somewhere there in October, and then the last couple of weeks, he just sort of has been struggling to find the end zone. Volume is still there, though. I mean, 2 weeks ago against UTEP, still he saw 10 targets. Last week, five targets. That's definitely a dip, but I think he's still sort of. I still like his role in the offense. I don't think one bad game is suggestive of him sort of falling off in the offense. I just think Sam Houston, just maybe that's just the way the game went. And now he's gone scoreless in a couple of weeks now in a row. I like him to find the end zone again at some point. It's got to happen at some point, right? I mean, why not this week? They're playing Kennesaw State, who defensively, from the sort of efficiency standpoint, they're rated pretty poorly here. I'm looking at the notes that you've assembled here, Jared. So it looks like they're bottom third in the country. And this is a game where, yeah, the total. Is the overall total on the game is low, set at 48.5. Western Kentucky, though, is favored by about 24. So, there should be plenty of scoring on their side. And Keyshawn Johnson, he's been snake bit for a couple of weeks in a row, but still sees those targets. I think it's got to happen eventually. But even if he doesn't score, you should see quite a few targets. You should be able to get around 100 yards this game. So, this is a name that I like at wide receiver this week. It's slim pickings at wide receiver this week. So.
Very slim pickings. Like I don't feel great about my start here. I'll talk about him in a second. But Keyshawn Johnson, loved the call of a bounce back week here. I think people got to remember at the end of the day, wide receiver is the like outside of tight end is the most variable position in the CFF. You're gonna have bust weeks, and that's partially where people always debate like how much is fantasy skill and how much is it luck. Like even last week, like. Or 2 weeks ago, Keyshawn Johnson against Sam Houston here, right? Again, five targets. Five targets isn't a terrible number of targets, right? Again, like it's not even that much lower than what he's getting earlier in the season. Like he has seven targets versus Toledo. He just happened to have his lowest yardage per catch on the season, and that's just how all she wrote sometimes, right? So I like the call for bounce back this week. Kennesaw State, again, they've graduated. From being, roadkill defense, to maybe a slight small speed bump in the road now, after their win last week against Liberty. But no, I fully understand this, right? Like West Kentucky should absolutely destroy the Owls. Plenty of scoring opportunities. I like the call. My guy that I'm throwing out here for my start at wide receiver is a bounce back candidate of my own, but somebody who has literally just done nothing all year, man. Like, golly, this is so brutal to watch ever since
Well,
week one.
since week one,
Since week one, we thought we were like, oh my God, he's back, baby. Like, this is gonna be incredible. But Kevin Concepcion, I'm calling a good week this week. Again, kind of going the similar logic earlier of like, even the worst like Tet McMillan last week, right? Like he's been very disappointing outside of his week one performances. He was, to me, he was still due for a good performance at some point. I'm kind of feeling the same itch with Kevin Concepcion here, right? They get Stanford this week. Stanford's actually decent, not great, but decent against the run, right? They're horrendous against the pass, especially for a Power Four team here, right? They're 119th mm-hmm. in the country in passing team defensive performance here. You get NC State off a bye week, right? You get Cedric Bailey, a ton of reps over the last 2 weeks, right? Hopefully they come out with a new offensive game plan here. They know exactly what they have. They're not flying by the seat of their pants really anymore here. I think that this is a potential opportunity for Concepcion to have probably possibly his biggest game. I don't really want to say his biggest game of the season. It's kind of hard to beat three touchdowns in week one, yeah, but I think he'll have his best season or his best game of the season in this matchup against Stanford here. Again, the total is not great, 46.5, NC State favored by 10, so limited scoring opportunities somewhat. Definitely could find probably a better matchup elsewhere, but I'm calling the Concepcion bounce back this week.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't mind the call. You know, the funny thing about Concepcion is you look at his usage, you know, this year, his targets are still pretty yeah. strong, and they still give him carries as well, right? So it's kind of an interesting thing. You know, it's just the overall offense has not done as well this year. I know we're all sort of a little disappointed in that. But, you know, again, this is a guy who still, his role is, you still kind of know what his role is in the offense. It's just sort of the production end of the equation hasn't quite been there. I don't mind the call out. Again, this is a week where you have to be creative, right, in terms of finding some options there with buys. And yeah, you know, Concepcion, it's, yeah, I'd be surprised if he had his biggest game of the season, as you're mentioning there. But, you know, a bounce back. I mean, he had one of his better games of the season this past week, right? Which is not, maybe not saying that much, but maybe things are on the upward trend. You mentioned it there. They're working in a new quarterback starting from about a month ago, and he's a true freshman, right? And so typically those things get better over time. So yeah, I like the call.
All right, let's move on to our sits for the week. Again, quick reminder to everybody, these are players inside the top 40 in total points to this point in the season. And as I mentioned earlier, man, like this got slim pickings real quick up here because of just how many people are on buys this week. I'll start with my quarterback here. And what I found interesting about the players that did remain among the players that we were picking. Yes. What I found interesting about the players that were remained to be picked from for this segment was that it felt like there is like, I'm going to catch 22 with a lot of these guys. It's either I trust Vegas or I trust our numbers over at C2C Winning Edge, because it didn't feel like there was any matchups really that lined up where both pointed to a bad matchup here. Case in point, I'm sitting Eli Holstein this week, quarterback out of Pittsburgh. Where I can, I fully will admit, there's a league where I have to start him in, so I'm not sitting him everywhere, but if you are in a league where you might have an extra quarterback option, I'd heavily consider sitting Holstein this week, because our numbers over at C2C Winning Edge very much like SMU's defense, right? They're number two in the country against the rush. They're not, you know, they're not susceptible to the pass, but, you know, they can be worked through the pass. Again, they're 46th in the country against the pass, according to our numbers over there. And so, but regardless, again, the number 10 defense in the country right now, very impressive what SMU's done here in their first year in the Power Four, obviously. Now, does that hold up when they actually start facing some tougher competition here, like Pitt? We'll see. We'll definitely find out this weekend. Vegas is definitely bullish on both of these teams being able to put up some points. Again, total of 58.5. SMU favored by 7.5. So both teams expected to score here. My problem is, like, when I look at my projections, when I look at our numbers at CDC Winning Edge, like, things just kind of point to a third down week in a row for Mr. Holstein. And given the fact that I don't have a lot of other great options to really point out here, I'm just letting people know, like, if Holstein doesn't perform this week, I guess don't say I didn't warn you, kind of. I don't know.
Yeah, well, and isn't he dealing with some sort of injury?
That's
well?
The other thing I meant to mention. Yes, he is dealing with an injury as well. And again, it's already a bit, based on like what, Narduzzi's been kind of weird, where like at first he was like, yeah, he's fine, he's good to go. And then like as the week started, he's like, oh, maybe it's more like 40-60 whether he goes or not. And I'm like, okay, that's a little different than what you're
like
saying.
Don't like the sound of that. Yeah, no, I don't like the sound of that. And as well with Holstein, you know, started off the year red hot, was really good. And then these last couple of weeks, right, he's kind of cooled off. Now, granted, I think last weekend, as we just mentioned, I think he got injured. I don't know if he
Well,
finished the
he
full
got
game.
injured, and then there was, you know, three defensive touchdowns. That game got out of
Yeah,
hand so
because
dang
they still won the
quickly.
game fairly handedly. But you looked at the week prior, you know, a game against Cal, he played the full game, which is a low scoring game. If you think SMU's defense is kind of on the same level as Cal, you know, it's two sort of surprise defenses that are surprisingly sort of strong this year, I should say. You know, that's a game where you can maybe try to use that as sort of base your expectations maybe for this week. But yeah, I mean, I like the call, especially given that, you know, there is a question mark with his health. I never like starting players when there's a question mark with their health, just because even if they get cleared, you don't really know, you know, how healthy they really are, but they're just
Feels
walking
like half my
limited into the
quarterback
game.
options right now, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, for the, you know, somebody out there is probably going to have to do it. As you mentioned, one of your leagues, you're going to start them anyways. And
Yeah, I
that's,
would
you know,
say
it is what it is.
it's either I drop Holstein or I drop, you know, Miller or Mateer sitting on my bench because we can only have four quarterbacks in that league. And I'm just like, well, like, I guess I'm rolling out Holstein. We'll see what happens because I'm not dropping any of those guys.
No, you have to do what you have to do, right? So different circumstances for different people. But yeah, I mean, I like the call here.
What about
You
your
know, we'll see what
quarterback?
happens. Yeah, Diego Pavia is my quarterback. So, you know,
How
it's been
dare
really
you?
fun. I
How
know,
dare
right?
you? The
I can hear the
darling of college
outrage.
football. You're gonna spit all over
Well, unfortunately, you know, it's somebody has to do it, right? It's this is a
him.
tough job.
Somebody
So,
has to.
I mean, look, I really like the story of Vanderbilt this year, and they've been great. You know, Pavia has had some good games as well, but you know, they're playing Auburn this week. Auburn defensively, even though I know they're sort of a dumpster fire program, but defensively this year they've been actually pretty stout. And I'm kind of looking at that Kentucky game for Pavia, where you know they won that game, but it was like 2017, sort of a slugfest, low scoring. You know, and yeah, I think he ended up with like 19 points, CFF points, I should say, which is not terrible. You know, I mean, you wouldn't be terribly disappointed with that, but it's not great either. And so I'm sort of looking at that game as potentially, you know, sort of what the expectation could be this week against Auburn. Auburn's in a pretty desperate place as well. You know, this is not a classic, you know, David and Goliath where Vanderbilt's coming in and they're just this plucky underdog and Auburn's not going to take them seriously. You know, I think everybody's been put on notice. You know, Vanderbilt, they were ranked a week ago. They just fell outside of that now. So,
Should still be ranked.
yeah, some believe that. That's fair as well. And so, yeah, but to his matchup specifically, Pavia, you know, Auburn, tough defense. They're not gonna sort of overlook them. And yeah, I mean, again, choosing quarterbacks, as you mentioned, Holstein this week, you know, there's a lot of players on bye. There's not too many to choose from, but Pavia is one where I feel like, okay, I don't know if I'm that high on him this week.
All right, let's move on to running backs here. I'll throw my running back out here, and end up picking on this game twice. But you know, it's something that you know, something that you got to keep an eye on, especially with it being one of the bigger matchups of the week. I'm going to be sitting running back Nicholas Singleton out of Penn State there, and I love what Nick Singleton's been able to do this year. Right, I drafted him 101 in dynasty leagues, you know, 2 years ago, and never really have gotten what I wanted out of him. I was skeptical he's going to be able to do it this year, but guess what? He's doing extremely well for himself. Right, Oh wait, here we go. In-season rankings right here. Let's see. He is currently, if I remember correctly, he is currently. Where are you, Mr. Singleton? You are doing so well. Oh wait, there you are. Okay, he's RB 52. Maybe that's kind of fallen off a little bit since, but he was upwards as close as like RB 20-25 earlier this season. But regardless, like he's been very solid week to week over the last 5 weeks. Again, you're looking at, you know, 25 points versus Bowling Green, 17 versus Kent State, 18 versus Illinois, 14.5 versus USC, 16.1 versus Wisconsin, right? Like, yeah, you're not blowing away the stat sheet or anything like that, but that's much better than what we've been getting out of him the last couple of weeks. And he's found himself a place in the top 40 running backs on the year so far with this. My thing is, yes, he's faced some semi-tough defenses, you know, like Wisconsin and Illinois, right? And performed well against them. Obviously, the talent comes out there, but Ohio State's defense is a different animal, right? Again, you're looking at a defense that's fourth in the country in team defensive performance, according to our numbers of C2C Winning Edge. It'll be a low scoring game, 45.5. And again, Singleton's been quite touchdown dependent over the last five games. Again, I kind of mentioned that I liked what he's been doing fantasy wise, but he scored a touchdown in each of his last five games. Again, low scoring game here, 45.5. I'm not really counting on Singleton kind of getting a guaranteed touchdown, kind of the opposite feel of like what we're doing with Keyshawn Johnson and the like, right? Where those guys feel due for a touchdown. Singleton feels due for a game where he is not going to score. And again, the game against Ohio State, fairly low scoring, feels like a prime opportunity for that to happen. And if you're starting him in this game, you are placing a massive bet on his talent, which I don't hate, but it can definitely burn you in the end. So I'm saying probably go ahead and sit Nick Singleton wherever you can.
Yeah, I don't hate the call. I was surprised when I looked at over under. This is sort of a classic Big Ten game of, you know, two top five seeds, but the over under is set at like 45 or something like that. So it's expected to be a fairly low scoring game. Like I said, sort of a classic Big Ten slugfest there. Yeah, I mean, Ohio State defensively, you mentioned it, are quite strong. I mean, I can look to a game like that Oregon game and look at some of those Oregon players and see how well they did. But Oregon offensively, probably a little bit, well, it's hard to say at this point in the season, but probably a little bit more potent than Penn State, certainly in the past game. And that probably helps open things up for the run. Singleton, I was also surprised when you mentioned that, like, he's a little lower than I would have expected on the total CFF rankings. But I guess it's because he hasn't had sort of truly nuclear performances. You know, he's been pretty solid for the last 4 or 5 weeks. I know he's really good to start the year, but I think now he's sort of tapered off a little bit. This is
but he missed the game as well. So that's part of it as well.
Yeah, because it's based on total production, right? So that makes a little bit more sense. And I'm not going to nitpick the selection too much. Again, this is, you know, you got to choose somebody for this. So,
all right, what about you? Who's your running back that you're sitting for this week?
Yeah, so the guy I selected is Henry Parrish, running back, Ole Miss. They're playing Arkansas this week. That's a program that I do like. I do root for them sometimes. Woo pig. Just a fun thing, and also works with my whole volume picks thing. But enough about that. Henry Parrish had a really amazing sort of two game stretch earlier in the year. Like, had a 40-point performance and another 30-point performance. Looked really good for, like, I can't remember what exact weeks they were. It might have been week 2, week 3, somewhere around that period. Since then, though, he has not really, like, he hasn't cracked 20 points. It's kind of like a 13, 14 point merchant right now. Like, he still gets the touches, and every now and then he still gets a score, but he's not really, like, for those who might've been thinking this is like a Quinchon Judkins 2.0 earlier in the year coming off the waiver wire. He hasn't quite stepped into that role. He's serviceable. He's a good player and rosterable for sure. But, you know, his latest performances, he's pretty pedestrian between 10 and 15 points, which is solid, but not great. And Arkansas actually is very strong against the run. At least they have been statistically up until this point. So, you know, this is not, it doesn't scream great matchup for them. It's sort of the matchup points to Ole Miss passing the ball more than trying to run the ball. And then you combine the fact with, Henry Parrish just lately hasn't been great. Now, you can look at that two ways. We've mentioned that before on the show. Maybe he's due for a big performance, but, you know, this one is kind of, he's still getting the touches. He has been getting the touches consistently through, like, basically this whole time. Yeah, it's just sort of from an efficiency standpoint that, you know, I don't know. He's a small running back, and I've watched some of their games. He takes a lot of punishment. Again, they give him a lot of carries. And I do wonder, maybe he's not quite fresh anymore. He might be walking wounded at this point in the season, and that might be why he's not as efficient. But above all else, I mean, this is a tough matchup against the run as well.
Yeah, again, like you said, he's absolutely banged up at this point, and they've mentioned that a couple of times. And it surprises me they're not trying to work in more guys like Ulysses Bentley and the like with him here. He's still getting like 15 touches per game over the last two games here, and like his efficiency just gets worse and worse as the year goes on. Literally, it just almost a straight downward trend after the first 3 weeks. You know, go from 6.8 against Georgia Southern to 4.8 against Kentucky, 3.9 versus South Carolina, 3.0 versus LSU to 2.9 this past week against Oklahoma. Now, granted, again, there's some tough defenses in there. Don't get me wrong. Like South Carolina, LSU, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Those Kentucky. I mean, shoot, all four of those are pretty solid defenses. The problem is, like you said, he's been getting punished by those defenses, and he's a small guy. He's not going to bounce back until we get like a true bye week here, potentially for Parrish. And like you said, Arkansas, they're top 10 in the country in team defensive rushing performance here. So just this isn't the game to expect a bounce back game from. So I like the call out here with Henry Parrish. I'm definitely not starting him in leagues where I can help it. Wide receiver, again, like I said, I'm double dipping on the Ohio State Penn State game. And this is this game or this play is really for a lot of the same reasons here. But I'm going to go with Emeka Egbuka, the wide receiver there out of Ohio State. I could have gone Jeremiah Smith here as well if I wanted to get really, really spicy, but he's like top three in the country right now in CFF. It's like, I'm not brave enough for that yet. Actually, we'll see. Where are you? Where is he? Oh, there he is. He's wide receiver 16 in total points, but I think in fantasy points per game, he's like top five.
Yeah, he's got to be up there.
So I'm going to pick on the number two guy here in Emeka Egbuka. And I think that the number two guy is the least likely or the most likely to kind of get punished in a game like this, right? Same as before with Nicholas Singleton, low over under game here. Ohio State not favored by that much. So we're not looking at like a blowout here with a low over under or anything. Now, I do like obviously Emeka's volume that he gets normally, you know, 11 targets and against Michigan State and Iowa, 10 targets versus Oregon. Took a little bit of a hit this past week against Nebraska. Again, we'll see if they're able to kind of get things back on track this week here. But the main thing is very similar to Singleton. I'm not loving the scoring opportunities for Emeka Egbuka this week. And, you know, with it being kind of slim pickings in the top 40 wide receivers, like this is kind of one of the ones that kind of stood out to me.
Yeah, again, you sort of hit the nail on the head at the end there. I'm not going to nitpick this selection. This is a game, I'm sure everybody else, I'm very excited to watch this game. It could go sort of the other way where it's like the big guys show up, you know, and then the Ohio State wide receivers have a good game and the Penn State running backs have a good, could go that way, could go, you know, the opposite way. It's hard to know, but in terms of tangible things we can use, yeah, it's a low over under. Of course, somebody has to score, but, yeah. You know, Egbuka, I don't mind the selection. There's lots of weapons there at Ohio State. Certainly, they have two running backs as well. So a lot of guys who could score. And yeah, I can't nitpick this selection too much.
What about your wide receiver? Am I going to nitpick this one?
I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, Pat Bryant.
I'll nitpick you for stealing my man, my go-to.
Yeah, well, I figured. Figured, you know, we need to switch it up a little bit this week. Oh, same name, just a different person selecting him. So Pat Bryant, Illinois receiver. Now, I'm a big fan of Pat Bryant. I like Pat Bryant, normally speaking. I mean, he's been pretty good for the season. If the game goes to overtime, you already know what time it is. Pat Bryant is getting on the scoreboard. So, you know, if you're starting him, kind of hoping that the game goes to overtime. But that hasn't been the case for a few weeks now. And you know, they're getting another tough matchup. They've had a couple of tough matchups the past few weeks. They played Oregon last week, and they played Michigan the week prior. Now they're playing Minnesota, which, you know, from a talent perspective, probably not the same level of Oregon or Michigan. But defensively, statistically speaking, to this point, their defense is pretty strong, pretty stout. And so it presents us another potentially tough matchup there. And as I mentioned earlier, really don't like to start players where there's any kind of health concern. Now, Pat Bryant, what they say is he is going to play. And I think they quoted him as he's not missing this game, no matter what, something like that. So I don't doubt that he's going to play.
Games.
But made me scratch my head. I don't really understand. He's not from Minnesota. I don't really get the connection there. But regardless, even if he is playing, I don't know that, you know, if he's going to be fully healthy. He's also just had a couple of two duds the last couple of weeks. So yeah, you know, you have to choose somebody for this segment, slim pickings, as Jared said. But this is a name where, okay, you know, I can sort of see it not going great. I mean, again, tough defense, and he's not really full health. So you know, not really a player I want to start this week.
Yeah, I'm not gonna fight you too much on this, considering that this is, you know, one of my one of my typical go-to guys in terms of, you know, touchdown regression throughout the year and everything. It's definitely coming to a head over the last couple of weeks here with him getting single digits over the last couple of weeks. So, like you said, he's injured. He's got a tough matchup again. There's no reason to expect he won't have a third single-digit performance here in a row. I will say, I do kind of like the idea of maybe sneaking in Zachary Franklin there. If you really, really want to play an Illinois wide receiver, I think he might be a play there. So
I like the call because, again, if Pat Bryant's sort of struggling health-wise, you know, some of those targets could go. Because, again, like, yeah, touchdown regression, but Bryant's role is still pretty solidified. And, like, he still sees a lot of targets. Like, in that Michigan game, he saw a lot of targets.
Agreed.
But it's just about, you know, he's not finding the end zone. So, yeah, if he's not really full health, those targets could go elsewhere.
All right. Let's move on to our last segment here. Some fan-submitted start sit questions. Appreciate all of you guys out there for submitting your questions. If you want to get your questions submitted to the show for your start sit dilemmas, make sure you're following the @ChasingTheNatty account on Twitter. Make sure you turn on those notifications once so you can know when the show comes out, the minute it comes out. But you will also be able to see our weekly posts we put on there asking you guys for your start sit questions, and that is where we pull a majority of our questions from. You can also put your questions down in the comment section below the waiver wire shows. I will double check there whenever I'm putting together these each week. With all that being said, let's move on to our fan-submitted questions for this week here, Justin. This one comes to us first from Dynasty Central Sports at DC Sports underscore YouTube on Twitter. He's asking us to start one quarterback between three options here. One is Eli Holstein, quarterback out of Pitt. We talked about him earlier already. We got Tyler Huff, the quarterback out of Jacksonville State, going to Liberty. And then we got Kyle McCord, quarterback out of Syracuse, at home versus Virginia Tech. This is a six-point passing touchdown league, which does kind of throw a little bit of a wrench in here, in my opinion. And then if this changes your opinion at all, negative 2 points for interception. So maybe Kyle McCord takes a back seat there a little bit because of his performance last week. This one's kind of tough for me because of that six-point passing touchdown. If it wasn't for the six-point passing touchdown, I'd say that Huff runs away with this pretty easily. Holstein, as I mentioned before, he's literally my sit for this week. There's no way I'm starting him here. I think McCord and Huff are both fantastic options for this week. Again, McCord outside. I don't want people to let last week poison their opinion of McCord here a bit too much, right? Now, granted, the week before against NC State, he wasn't fantastic either, but everything before that point, he was Mr. Consistent just because of the sheer volume that he was getting. Last week, it was just, I think they said something about him just like not, like he was sick or something like that. Like he probably shouldn't have been out there. That's why he threw five interceptions. So regardless, like if you take away those five interceptions last week, the bones of a decent performance were still there for McCord, right? Again, 321 passing yards. You probably get even above that considering that, you know, how many drives were cut short by him throwing it to the other team there. So I think McCord's still a legitimate play here, but I think I'm still going to lean towards Tyler Huff. Again, just having that dual threat ability, getting in a matchup there with Liberty, which is expected to be a decently high scoring game. I know that the defensive numbers between Liberty and Jacksonville State aren't fantastic, but I'm trusting Vegas on this one, that this will be a pretty high scoring game between these two. Jacksonville State's been just running it up on pretty much everybody that they can. And so I don't see how that changes against Liberty this week. So I'm going with Huff. What about you, Justin?
Yeah, I'm going to roll Eli Holstein. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding.
Literally had my jaw drop there for a second.
Yeah, no, just making sure everybody's paying attention. So he's the one that's an easy sit.
Well, you woke me up. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, well, that was the intention. So good. And look, as I mentioned earlier, Holstein, any player who's kind of dinged up, even if they're scheduled to play, if we're doing a question like this, I sort of default to the guys that I know are healthy. And look, I know everybody's dealing with something, but as far as Holstein, we know he's dealing with something, right? So as far as the other two players, yeah, McCord had a shocking performance last weekend, but sort of an outlier for his overall season. You know, the passing usage, he had like 64 pass attempts even last weekend, right? And he's hit 60 a couple of times now. Now, those types of numbers are fantastic for CFF, obviously. I'd be curious to know if anybody in the offseason expected this from Syracuse, who had this on their bingo card, right? This is Mike Leach, rest in peace, level pass usage, right?
Well,
This is fantastic.
it's like the crazy thing is, like, it's not even like an air raid system because they are running the ball. It's almost like a Jeff Levius system where, like, they're just running at such a fast pace that, like, they just can get this many plays in every game.
Yeah, and that obviously has its benefits from a CFF perspective. But Huff has been red hot lately. I mean, he's been very good. And you look at, again, a question like this where Huff gets it done on the ground and via the air. Now, again, in terms of total opportunities, because McCord's passing it so much per game, might even still outweigh Huff's usage. But I like players that have that diversified usage. And with Huff, it's like, okay, if he doesn't score a passing touchdown, and granted, this is a 6-point passing touchdown format, so I understand. But I assume you're still getting 6 points for rushing touchdowns. So look, if he scores 3 rushing touchdowns, that's a good day as well, right? So,
Agreed.
yeah, I think I'm going to roll with Huff here. I can understand if somebody wants to roll with McCord as well, but for me, I think Huff, that dual usage, and I'm not afraid of this matchup. With Liberty, this actually could turn out to be a great game for a CFF from a CFF perspective.
Yeah, I agree. Again, our numbers at C2C Winning Edge actually have Liberty as the 39th ranked defense in the country when it comes to team performance, but I'm not fully buying that. They've played a pretty sharp and soft schedule to this point. Now,
Exactly.
granted, the team performance metric is designed to try to take some of that into account, right? But at the same time, like, I still think that Jacksonville State should have their way with them on offense. So, next question here, we'll bring it on over to. Oh, actually, hold on. Let me put our tokens back. There we go. All right. Second question here. This comes to us from MDB at 2008 World Series Champs. He's asking us to pick between three quarterbacks here. He wants us to pick two of them between Miller Moss, quarterback at USC, going up against Washington this week, or we can go Jackson Arnold, the quarterback out of Oklahoma, going up against Maine, or we can go with Marcel Reed, the quarterback out of Texas A&M, going up against South Carolina. So, Justin, I'll throw it over to you first, man. Which two are you going with?
Yeah, so this one is also kind of tough, and so I mean that's good. That's why these guys are sending these questions, right? So, I'll look at it sort of one by one. So Marcel Reed, he took over as a starter earlier in the year, and I was kind of hoping that we'd see some nuclear performances. There was sort of a layup waiting for him there against Bowling Green the week after he came in that first sort of appearance with Florida. For those who remember, he sort of came in as a relief player against Florida, had a great game. Next week, we're kind of looking for something, some fireworks. Didn't really materialize. Had a couple of starts there. Did okay, nothing amazing. And then Wakeman comes back. Of course, we all know what happened this past weekend. Had a great game, scored 3 rushing touchdowns. But South Carolina's front seven is actually pretty strong. And just looking at the patterns here, when Reed has started, he hasn't actually been all that amazing. Now he's been solid, but just nothing crazy. Miller Moss and USC they're a bit of a wild card this year, and Washington actually has a pretty good defense this year. And yeah, with Miller Moss, I don't really he's there's quite a bit of volatility there. Same deal with all of these players, especially so with Jackson Arnold, right? He's had a tough year. One of the things that stands out to me about Arnold is in his first game back, his first start back this past weekend, 24 carries, right? That's kind of a number that stands out. I don't know if that's a concerted effort from the staff to get him more involved in the run game, but certainly of the three, he has the best matchup.
I mean,
And
I think it's partially because he's running for his life.
well, that's look, however it happens, right? If he's getting rushing yardage, then that's fine by me. And this is a game where, look, the offensive line is not going to be overwhelmed, we assume. Actually, I don't want to speak too soon, but it's presumably this is a game the offensive line is not going to be overwhelmed. Playing against Maine, I'm going to choose Jackson Arnold here, and I do so cautiously. But look, these all three of these options feel risky. I like this matchup. And maybe they're trying to get Arnold's confidence back. This would be a great game to do it. They've got to finish out the season strong. So I'm going to go with Arnold here.
I'm going to throw a plot twist at you, Justin. This is a pick two.
Oh my God. Well, I don't know.
You got to choose between Moss and Reed. I know you were sitting pretty there with that Arnold pick.
Yeah, well, here I was thinking, okay, I've got this one figured out. Okay, well, with Moss, look, I don't know. Between these last two, I don't really want to have to choose one of these two. But I understand it's week 10, options are limited, and this is where we're at. In both cases, it's a tough defense that these quarterbacks are playing. At least Marcel Reed gives you kind of that dual usage. But then again, I don't know that he does. His passing is not... he hasn't really demonstrated much ability there. We know he's a good runner, but and then Miller Moss, we know he's a passer. I don't know. I don't know who I want to choose here. I think I'm gonna cautiously roll with Miller Moss here. After all, it is still a Lincoln Riley quarterback, and Miller Moss has been actually solid the last couple of weeks. He had a good game against Rutgers, solid game against Maryland. You know, he had tough games against Penn State and Minnesota. I mentioned he's had some volatility, but that's understandable, right? Those are tough defenses. So I'm not going to hold that too much against him. I think I'm going to roll with Moss. I know a little bit more about him. You know, Reed, every time he starts, he's solid. He's not terrible, but he's not – when he comes in as a relief player, he seems to be really good. And when he's starting, he's not quite the same level. So.
Reed's definitely got the so actually let me start with the fact that I'm also starting Jackson Arnold. I think he's kind of the easy choice out of this bunch. In addition, because you kind of mentioned already, right? They're going up against Maine. I'm not gonna pretend this is a completely original thought because Nate Marquise kind of touched on this already, but I didn't realize over the last 2 weeks that Arnold has started or played for Oklahoma, he's had 60 plus yards in sacks in both of those games. So if that offensive line, not that I expected to after this game, but if that offensive line could just hold up against, you know, freaking Maine, you're looking at a solid plus 6 points to Jackson Arnold's day, just fantasy-wise, just probably automatically, right? Because he's probably not getting touched on those sacks. Please, for the love of God, do not let him get touched on those sacks. In addition, he's a five-star quarterback, beat up on some FCS opponents here. He could end the day with potentially 3 to 5 touchdowns. And you're sitting there pretty happy. I think he's easily the most projectable of these three. Reed is the ceiling play, right? But he's also the floor play. Sorry, that didn't come out right at all. Reed is the high ceiling, low floor kind of play here, right? Like, he could go in there. We know South Carolina's front seven's great. Their sack rate is absolutely elite this year. Yeah. They've been phenomenal. Reed is a dual threat guy. Maybe he gives them trouble for whatever reason, and he ends the day with, you know, 120 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. And we're all sitting here being like, oh, what were we so worried about? He could also end the day with negative 40 sack yards, no touchdowns, and, you know, maybe he throws it for, you know, a buck 50 to 200 yards and a touchdown. And you're sitting there like, oh, that wasn't so great. Versus Moss, I kind of agree with you. This is more of the safer play just in general, especially over the last couple of weeks. I can't remember if they're going, well, I guess this doesn't matter nearly as much compared to other Big Ten teams, like going on the road, right? Because Washington and USC, they're in the same time zone. You're not asking them to cross continent or anything like that. So
yeah,
I think Moss will be fine for the most part this week. I wouldn't expect more than, like, you know, 20, 22 points in this game. But in a week like this with all these buys and everything, I think you can kind of take what you can get there rather than try to play Marcel Reed, hoping for, you know, a 30-plus point performance, but could end the day with less than 10. So I'd go with Moss here. All right, tokens up. Now tokens back. And we move on to our next question. This one comes to us from Mr. Sidewalk Buffalo. Actually, hold on, before we get to that, I should probably mention what the C2C projections and my projections had to say on those last two questions. So real quick here, Dynasty Central Sports, our projections also have Tyler Huff. Both C2C and my projections have Tyler Huff as the best option there. C2C projections actually have him by a pretty decent margin, about 7 points higher than McCord. And then this past one from MDB here, our projections have Jackson Arnold, our CDC projections have Jackson Arnold as the highest scorer, agreeing with Justin and I. And then it actually disagrees on who the higher scorer is going to be between Miller Moss and Actually, no, never mind. They both agree that Miller Moss is a slightly better option between Moss and Reed. So, next question here from Sidewalk Buffalo at Sidewalk Buffalo on Twitter. Start two running backs here, 6-point touchdowns, no PPR. He's asking us between Carson Henson, the running back out of Iowa State, going up against Texas Tech this week, or we can go with Darius Taylor, the running back out of Minnesota, going up against Illinois, or we can go with Ahmad Hardy, the running back out of UL Monroe, running back out of UL Monroe, going up against Marshall. So, all three of these guys actually have pretty solid matchups here, right? Texas Tech, 101st against the run. Illinois, surprisingly, you kind of think of Illinois as kind of usually defensively stout team. They're 108th against the rush. You go with Ahmad Hardy going up against Marshall. We kind of touched on this earlier. They're 113th in team performance against the run. So all three of these guys on paper seem like pretty solid options. But I think I'm gonna lean into the Justin philosophy here, and we're just going to go with volume. And I think the two guys that provide that the most consistently are Darius Taylor and Ahmad Hardy here. I like the idea of being a little cute here with Henson, because I think Henson is definitely somebody to watch as the season kind of progresses here down the line, as Iowa State really tries to figure out like who's going to be their guy, especially now that they're really in the midst for a playoff run, right? They're going to want to know who can they rely on. So Henson could be a good, fun play down the line, but I think when you have other options here with Darius Taylor and Ahmad Hardy, two guys that have been pretty consistent over the last several weeks, I think you got to go with them. So I'll go with Darius Taylor. I'm keeping it short and sweet. I'm going with Ahmad Hardy here. And I would sit Carson Henson here. Just wait another week, see what's going on there. Because the last game he played, he only got 9 carries. Granted, he had 20 and 15 before that, but still, some stuff to figure out there with Iowa State. Justin, your thoughts, man?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I couldn't have said it better myself. I think volume is sort of what I want to grab onto here. And that ISU backfield, I'm a little wary of trusting anything that I've seen so far, because there's been lots of twists and turns this season. And Henson looked like he had emerged, and then he had 9 carries last week. And then I looked at the game thinking, oh, was it a blowout? No, it was a very, very close game against UCF. So strange. Maybe he was dealing with something that wasn't reported.
Again, to be fair, Iowa State had to pass a lot to keep up in that game. So they kind of got away from the run.
Fair. Yeah, I suppose. But yeah, it wasn't a blowout anything. But yeah, maybe just playing from behind a lot. And that makes sense as well. But when you have two other options here who are yeah, very solidified. Certainly Darius Taylor is absolutely solidified there. And you mentioned that even though Illinois typically strong rush defense, not so much this year. I started Ahmad Hardy earlier in this show segment. So, I mean, there's no going back now, yeah. Right? I'm going to keep it short and sweet there as well. Same two selections that Jared had.
And I'll throw out our projections here real quick. Our C2C projections actually have Darius Taylor, obviously number one, about 21 points there projected there. And then it actually has Carson Henson as the number two projected back here at 18.4 fantasy points, and Ahmad Hardy just behind him at 16.4. My personal projections has Darius Taylor up at 25 points this upcoming weekend, and then Ahmad Hardy behind him at 17.1 with Carson Henson just behind him at 16. So there's a bigger gap between Darius Taylor and the other two with both of our projections, but my projections favor Hardy. So my projections agree with us, Justin. So back the tokens go here, and we will move on to our fourth question here. Sorry if we're moving through these a little quickly tonight, y'all, but I am, like I said, still recovering a little bit. So we're trying to get this show right at about an hour here. So that doesn't mean that we can't take a look at Mr. William Folk's question here. William Folk III, I should add, at BJFolk12 on Twitter. He is asking a flex spot decision, even though it's three running backs here. 6-point touchdowns, 1-point PPR here. We are deciding between Nicholas Singleton, running back out of Penn State, Ollie Gordon, running back out of Oklahoma State, or we can go with Braylon Russell, the true freshman running back out of Arkansas, going up against Ole Miss there. So, Justin, running backs are your deal, man. Which one are you going with?
Yeah, well, in his question, he also mentions for Ollie Gordon, if he is healthy, right? If he is indeed healthy, I got burned on Gordon last week, with the sit selection for my selection in that set start segment. He had a pretty good week. Could have been much better. He actually left the game in the third quarter, hence what William's talking about there. So in the theme of the show, just to be consistent with my messaging, I've said this, there's a concern of a player's health generally. I try to steer away from that if we're selecting, between three options here, and the other guys don't have that question mark, even if their matchups aren't quite as good. I generally try to go that direction. But I do say this sort of with an asterisk. If there's some sort of update on Gordon that tells us that he's healthy, ready to go, again, I understand, like, you can't fully take that at face value. But if it sounds like he's ready to roll again, because I've seen him play through injuries, like he's generally, like, especially last year, he's very durable. Even when he was banged up, he was still scoring points. So for him, I can make a little bit of an exception there if he's rolled healthy, because it's a fantastic matchup and he's kind of gotten it going the last couple of weeks. Braylon Russell versus Ole Miss. I don't like how he accredited that third-rate analyst Nate there for that pickup. I also said pick up Braylon Russell in my waiver wire series. No, look, I love Nate. Nate's great at this game, obviously. And Braylon Russell, great selection and good job to William for picking him up last week. He had a good game last weekend in lieu of JaQuindon Jackson, who was banged up. Yeah, I think we need to monitor JaQuindon Jackson's health for this weekend, of course. And this Ole Miss team defensively, are improved. I think Walter Nolan got injured last weekend. I don't know if he's playing this weekend.
Okay.
He's a big piece of that defense. Not that that's a make or break factor, but and then earlier in the segment, Jared talked about Nicholas Singleton. So there's reasons to sit him as well. We have to choose two though, right? So
Choose one.
or choose one. Okay, well, if we're choosing one, I'm gonna choose Braylon Russell with the asterisk that I'm if JaQuindon Jackson is still out. And again, so now that's two asterisks. I understand this is getting a little complicated,
But that's the
but
game we play.
if Ollie Gordon is ruled healthy, and certainly if JaQuindon Jackson is ruled healthy, you probably don't need me to say this out loud, but just in case, if JaQuindon Jackson is ruled healthy, I'm not starting Braylon Russell. But if Ollie Gordon's ruled healthy, I'd probably want to start him. Certainly between those two players, that's kind of where I'm looking at. Jared did a good job outlining earlier why Singleton, maybe this is not a great matchup for him. So that's who I'm going to roll with, Braylon Russell.
I'm fully with you on like not wanting to start guys that have, some kind of medical up in the airness, especially running backs, right? They're so beat up. But it's one thing when you're kind of deciding that between a guy that's, got a pretty average matchup here. Braylon Russell and Nick Singleton, you talk about guys that are going up against top four defenses in the country when it comes to defending the run. Right. These are not easy matchups that they're going up against. Now, it is an interesting note with Walter Nolan there in that defensive interior there for Ole Miss. That could open up some lanes for Braylon Russell. And I mean, shoot, he looked pretty solid last week. And I mean, if you've seen Braylon Russell, he's a big boy. He's a
Oh, yeah.
monster, and he can take some hits. So I could see a path to Braylon Russell having himself a good game, despite, Ole Miss being, number one in the country in team performance defending the run. But I still think I'm going to go with Ollie Gordon here. Like, I'm willing to take this risk here because, like you said, if he's not hurt, the last 2 weeks, he's kind of looked a bit more like previous Ollie Gordon a little bit, right? 16 carries versus BYU, 107 yards, two touchdowns there, three catches, 20 yards, and another touchdown. So three touchdowns on the day there against Baylor. Like you said, he was already at, 92 yards on the day in the middle of the third quarter. He could have, and he had two touchdowns to go with it. Like he was on his way to having another monster performance. If he kind of, truly is resting up this upcoming week, I think he could have a pretty big day against Arizona State. Now, Arizona State's defense isn't nothing to sneeze at either. They're 29th in the country when it comes to team performance defending the run. But compare that to Ole Miss or compare that to Ohio State, like it's no contest. I'll run the risk with Ollie Gordon. So I'll sit Russell. I'll sit Singleton. Rolling the dice here. Moving the tokens back here, we'll touch on our final question of the night, and that will come to us. From where is it? Ah, yes, Mr. Awood Sports on Twitter. Just realized, didn't put your name on the graphic. Sorry, Austin there. But anyway, at Awood Sports on Twitter, he's asking us a flex question between Mr. Isaac Brown, the running back out of Louisville going up against Clemson this week, or we can go with Pafele Ashlock, the wide receiver out of Hawaii, going up against Fresno State, or we can go with AJ Turner, the running back out of UM Monroe. I'll keep this one relatively simple. I love the talent of Isaac Brown. I think he's a beast. I think there's a way for him to have a good day against Clemson, right? But Clemson's shown that, you know, even if their defensive numbers aren't really great, they're not giving up a lot of scores. They're giving up a lot of yards, but not a ton of scores. And so Brown can, I think, do well on that front, right? If you're in a PPR league, I think Brown could be a legitimate option for you. But man, AJ Turner's just sitting here staring me in the face here. This is a scenario where he's going up against UL Monroe's rushing defense, who just got absolutely ran all over by South Alabama last week. I think both of their running backs had well over 100 yards. I think Lopez had himself close to like 40, 50 yards as well. Like, it was not pretty. And AJ Turner is the best player on this Marshall offense. He's been getting more and more consistent work as the weeks have gone on here. He's well rested. He's coming off a bye week here. I think that he can absolutely take over this game against Yale Monroe. I think he's my clear start here. But Pafele Ashlock, man, theme of the day, right? Justin, where he missed a game, came back last week, but really did not look like a healthy self. Yeah. Maybe he's fully back this week, but I'll take the shot on a running back, especially if I'm guessing here, Awood. This is a non-PPR league because you did not leave a PPR scoring parameter in your question. So, Justin, your thoughts, man?
I think you did a pretty good job summarizing those three names. So, yeah, I don't have too much to add. I mean, I think there is a path there for Isaac Brown, where, you know, point taken about Clemson's not giving up too many touchdowns. They've played a very poor schedule as well, though, that has to be noted. And this Louisville team, not that they're an amazing team, but they might have a little bit more bite and they may be able to find the end zone a little bit more. That game could turn into a back and forth shootout. Two really good offenses. So Isaac Brown potentially is the nuclear option. But then again, AJ Turner, who, as he demonstrated a couple of weeks ago, he has that upside in his arsenal as well, right? And Marshall, kind of an interesting saga this year, where they tried the air raid early on. I think they're still, I'm not really sure what exactly they're planning on doing, but they clearly have found something of AJ Turner. And those experienced CFFers will remember that Marshall, under that staff, have been pretty good to the running back position throughout the years. Looks like they've landed on AJ Turner. I agree with Jared. This is a great matchup. You look at what Fluff Bothwell and Kentrell Bullock did last week. Both of them got over 20 points. So AJ Turner, this is one where, you know, he's another one. Great floor. I would say great floor, even though he's not a huge carry guy. You know, I think the matchup is quite good. Efficiency should be there. Ashlock, normally you would trust him, but, you know, theme, as Jared mentioned, if we don't really know what his health status is, you know, in a question like this, I tend to go elsewhere. So I like both Isaac Brown and AJ Turner. I'm going to roll with AJ Turner, but I do want that to be noted. Not to add more considerations to your question, but, you know, Isaac Brown, there's certainly a great path there as well. So tough question, but yeah, I'll roll with AJ Turner as well.
All righty. Well, with that, we have come to the end of our show. Appreciate all of you guys out there for listening. If you guys have not already, make sure you leave a like, a comment, and subscribe. If you're on the YouTube side of things, if you're on the podcast side of things, make sure you follow the show. Leave a 5-star review wherever you can. Make sure you check out the rest of the Campus to Canton Podcast Network for shows ranging on pretty much anything you can think of related to the college fantasy game. Make sure you check out Justin's awesome content over at volumepigs.com. He puts out weekly articles for you guys to check out. CFF content goes very in-depth with all of his content, so absolutely worth every penny that you can send him over there. That being said, Justin, before I get out of here, man, anything you want to say?
No, again, I appreciate you gutting it out here for today's show. Hope the listeners appreciate that. I definitely see Jared struggling. I think he's falling asleep here, so I'm not going to...
No, I'm totally awake. I'm good.
No, but if you haven't, make sure you're checking out Jared's show, all the great work that's happening at C2C. And I think Nate gave away this spoiler, but I'm planning on being a part of your guys' Dynasty show at some point in November. So stay tuned for that as well.
Yeah, that's gonna be a ton of fun. We'll be doing some hot takes. We'll be doing some powwow, and it'll be awesome. Yeah. Until then, we'll see you guys back here next Monday when we got another round of waiver wires as we get really, really close to playoffs, especially in some deeper leagues. Like, those are right around the corner. But until then, appreciate all of you guys, and I hope you guys have a wonderful and blessed week. See y'all.